listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Well, hello there. We are back. Series 10, episode 19 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Hope you all enjoyed the summer break. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley back with you. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners this season are Bar One Betting. Gary, how was your summer break?
It was great. Still doing, well, a break from the pod. But yeah, no, I had a wedding abroad, which was nice. Well timed by my by the people getting married, so they were obviously very keen on the League of Ireland calendar to book the wedding in that fashion. Unlike yourself, actually, might I add.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Good time off. Yeah, looking forward to getting back into it now. Good weekend at the weekend as well. So lots of good results. So.
Yeah, and you know, when we announced on the pod a few weeks back that we were going to take last week off, I was happy enough. I said, you know, it's the summer break. Not a lot will happen. We'll be back after the results and we'll talk about them this week and everything will be fine. And then the whole Pierce Stadium, Turner's Cross fiasco kicked off. What was your takings on all of that from the week or so?
It just seemed like a load of people with too strong of opinions and not being movable on them. It was a ridiculous situation that two teams had to go hundreds of kilometers away from either ground. It was just a bit strange, to be honest. I know there was a lot of talk about Dundalk have other celebrations and want to do stuff that night, and the fixture couldn't be reversed. It is a right old mess. It shouldn't have really got to that stage. But look, it's over now. But it does show that, like, you know, we're not a million miles away from being pure tin pot. You know what I mean?
Some people say, you know, we all want the league to grow to where we're all playing in 20,000 seater stadiums and that, but we do want to keep that little bit of element of greatest league in the world at the same time.
Yeah, we do, but like not to this extent. You know, this is just utter stupidity. You know, I couldn't believe it when I think I saw the Between the Stripes tweet first that it was going to be in Turner's Cross. I was like, Mercury, you've definitely got an arseways here, but you didn't, to be fair to you. I just couldn't believe it. And like, it just does go back to, as I said, the tin pot stuff that we've been trying to get rid of, and have successfully by and large. But yeah, hopefully we don't have any repeats of this going forward. But it's just poor showing, to be quite honest. But there you go.
To be honest, I'd be a lot stronger on it than you, I think. There, I would be very disappointed with Galway United's role in all of this. I thought the tone of their statements, I thought the tone of John Caulfield's interview before the game.
Yeah, it was bullshit, yeah.
I thought that was really, really poor. They were trying to deflect all of the blame onto Dundalk. You brought it up there. There was the suggestion this could be reversed to Oriel. Dundalk didn't want to give up the game falling on their centenary weekend. Look, you've been involved with planning Longford centenary celebrations a couple of years ago. You know how much goes into that. That's not something you plan over the space of a weekend. That's literally something I was involved in the centenary committee at Longford, and that was something that went on for one, if not 2 years in advance. Lots of planning goes around that. So I totally understand why Dundalk didn't want to give up home advantage that weekend of all weekends. I can understand why they didn't want to play on a Monday night. Why should they be in a situation where they have less rest days then in going into their next fixture, putting themselves at a disadvantage? Like, the easy solution here was to play this game in Athlone. Was available. Sligo was available. Longford, I don't know whether they would have took the fixture or not, given there was a game on the Saturday and there was a women's game the Sunday. It would have been a lot of traffic on the pitch, but there was two definite alternative venues there that were available. Yeah. Sligo and definitely Athlone. The reason given about Athlone was they didn't want to play on a synthetic pitch, yet they were willing to switch the game to Oriel. So make sense of that for me.
Well, there is no sense to it. That's why, like, you know, maybe if we were having this conversation last week when that conversation was had by John Caulfield, maybe I'd feel a bit more strongly about it, but maybe I have mellowed out a little bit on it. But I do agree with you that it was more, it seemed like just being an arsehole for the sake of being an arsehole, and not specifically John Caulfield, but it just seemed like the whole feeling from Galway was like, right, well,
the tone they struck was totally
wrong,
off balance. Yeah,
it was.
Or the other thing was, there should have been a contingency plan in place from day one when this deal was done with Pier Stadium. There was always the possibility that Galway could be drawn at home in the championship that weekend. Now there seems to be, I still don't understand why the game couldn't have happened in Pier Stadium. I don't think you don't need a pristine pitch for a Gaelic football match the way you do.
But like they'd be saying that anyway. Do you know what I mean? We can't have a bunch of foreign game players running around our pitch before our game.
I don't understand that. Like, there seems to have been really good cooperation between Derry and Derry City in regards to the use of Celtic Park. Obviously, the pitch hasn't been ideal up there, but I think there seems to be a good relationship there from what we can see. But there seems to be a lot of restrictions. That is one thing I will say in credit to Galway United. There does seem to be a lot of kind of restrictions on the deal about when they can use it. And there was, I think, even talk that they couldn't use the floodlight certain nights and stuff like that. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But as I said, there should have been a contingency in place because this was always a possibility. So again, the fact that Sligo Rovers were away from home that weekend, Athlone were away from home, Longford weren't playing on the Friday night, there was surely other options than Turner's Cross. I think you're right. I think there was a bit of heel digging went in here. And look, at the end of the day, Galway came away as the big losers because they went down there. They totally lost their home advantage. Whatever about moving the game to Athlone or Sligo, where you're going to lose a large chunk of your support anyway. You might keep a couple of hundred aboard, but they went to Cork with virtually no support. I watched it on LOI TV on Friday, and it was like watching a game in COVID times. It was just desperate to watch the lack of atmosphere, the lack of people in the stadium. So they lost home advantage and they ultimately lost the game as well, which I thought was a fitting end to the week, because it was not a good week to be someone involved with Galway United. I've seen a lot of their own supporters then coming out and criticising the club heavily online after the game, talking about even the deletion of comments and stuff like that. I know we've talked about that with other clubs in the past, but even when we did pre-season pods and that, I think we talked about this. There seems to be like a secretness around Galway all the time in their communications, and waiting until the very last second to announce players, and fans finding out the players are signed on FEI Connect or through other means long before the club announced anything. It just seems to be a very backwards approach at times.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I think, Galway wouldn't be the only club that would be subject to that.
No, definitely not.
But I think,
at the end of the day, this is a full-time Premier Division club, though. So,
it's not as handy as an excuse. That excuse might fly for, we'll say, other clubs around the league. They want to progress on this, want to do this and that and the other. And I just think it was needless, really, the whole thing, and just show themselves up to be, very uncompliant, or, as you said, digging their heels in for not much of a reason. And look, to be fair, justice was done. They lost the match.
Yeah.
So, delighted for them, really.
And even then, there was a bit of aggro after the game as well. Not sure.
What was there?
Yeah, a bit of pushing and shoving out on the pitch. Nothing major. Ed Irvine was enjoying himself anyway. He went over and he was fist pumping in front of the Dundalk fans. I think it's no secret there's no love lost between him and John Caulfield, so I think he really enjoyed that late winner of all people. But not a good week for Galway. Just before we dip into the League of Ireland stuff, just going back to our summer breaks, have you been watching much of the World Cup?
Yeah, I've been watching as much as I can. Not really feeling it. I was kind of thinking that I would be more into it when it came to it. Definitely the times of the games aren't helping, but yesterday evening I think there was a game at 5, 8, and 11, and I watched them all, but I can't really remember any of it. Obviously Cape Verde's result was great to see.
That's probably the headline of the World Cup so far.
Yeah, and it's not much of a headline either. Like, do you know what I mean? It is a great result. No, it is a great result for them. But like, you know, you're gonna that happens at every World Cup. This isn't like an unknown. We had it with Saudi Arabia and Argentina at the last.
What's the population of Saudi Arabia?
Half a million people. Yeah, and absolutely. I'm just saying that, like, there's going to be crazy results like this. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, to be fair, common. everyone, the population of Saudi Arabia is 35 million. So there you go. Richer country than Cape Verde as well. But the point I was just going to make, everyone said going to a 48 team tournament, we were going to see nothing but drubbins in the group stages. And then we go and see Cape Verde get a well-deserved draw against Spain.
And absolutely fair play to them. We're not disputing that. There's a billion people in India and they haven't qualified.
Fair
enough. You know, go figure. Like, so, like, you know, I don't really mind it. It's still a great story. Absolutely. And I'm delighted for them. I watched the game from start to end. I thought Pico played very well.
He was brilliant,
That block in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, that was sensational.
Yeah, it was. But also, like, even on that, I've never heard more about Pico Lopez in my life. Except in the last week, but even like, I know it's difficult, but like the onslaught that they were taking throughout the game, and like to be still, you know, focused so strongly.
Yeah.
After, like, you know what I mean? Like, you'd imagine, like, you know, one lad makes a hames of it just in the last minute or something like that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But, and they didn't do that. So I was delighted.
They actually had a couple of little breaks towards the end.
They did.
As well.
Yeah, exactly.
I know the shooting wasn't great, but even I was kind of shouting at them. I was just like, shoot, lad, it's the only chance you'll ever get. It's the best chance of your life. So I don't blame anyone for shooting from range and that.
Absolutely. The quality just wasn't there. But no. Look, it's a great story. But there's always going to be teams like, didn't Morocco get very deep into the last World Cup?
Semi-finals, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that probably wasn't exactly telegraphed by anybody before that. So, or before that World Cup. So, like, I'm delighted for them. And it is the major story of the World Cup so far. But I think that says more about the World Cup itself rather than the story.
Yeah, I haven't watched a huge part of the games, to be honest. I feel very disconnected from this World Cup, even though I've been commentating on some of the games. But the only game...
You haven't mentioned that.
the only game I've actually sat down really and watched properly in a non-working capacity was the opening fixture, and that was terrible spectacle between Mexico and South Africa with some very poor refereeing as well. And then the games I've commentated on, the Scotland Haiti, I thought that was a very poor quality game. I don't see the Scots going too far in it. There was a League of Ireland connection there, of course. France Piero's brother, Franzi, he was playing for Haiti, so that was nice. What else?
I thought they left a few points behind Haiti.
Yeah, they could have got. They just weren't that cute. They kept making a lot of silly fouls. The two big men up front. So,
they did. Yeah, battered lads on
the way. Yeah, I didn't think it was a great game though. The game I did last night or the night before. I have no idea what day of the week it is. To be honest, all I've done is kind of nap, get up, commentate, sleep, eat. I did the Ivory Coast game the other night where they got the late Diallo winner. So that was actually a decent game. There was a bit of a bite in it as well. A few meaty tackles, but. Yeah, aside from that, I haven't really seen a great game so far. Mm. I think I woke up this morning and checked social media and everyone was saying that Iran-New Zealand game was arguably the game of the tournament so far, and that was at 2 a.m., I think. So just the way the quick... Even tonight, like Argentina, the defending champions, you want to see Messi at his last World Cup, and that's at 2 a.m., so... Yeah,
it's your decision. You can still watch it.
Well, I've got work in the morning, and then I'm doing a midnight game again tomorrow. So yeah, I do feel a bit disconnected from this World Cup, I have to say, but we're experiencing what football fans in other parts of the world have experienced.
We don't care about them. Never mind.
No.
I do want to bring up one point, and I know I said it there the other day, and I'm glad I remembered it. Of all the people in Ireland that like have been like, you know, totally losing the rag over investment in academies and this and that and the other, and I've been against that to a degree, you know, as a reason for why we lose to Armenia or haven't qualified for a World Cup in 24 years. What are these people thinking? And I'm not looking for a specific answer from yourself. But what are those people thinking when they watch Cape Verde get a point against Spain in the World Cup. Like, it baffles my mind that, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, you cannot put down, what was it? Like 22 players in a squad, or 25, or whatever there is in a squad, losing against Armenia to, you know, decades of underinvestment in academy football or training or grassroots or whatever. I'm not saying that's not a particular reason, but, like, it seems crazy to me that, like, we can, like, write off games like Armenia, or, like, what was that game in Ireland that time? Was it Luxembourg that we lost that really made a hames of that? And probably other ones that, like, I've just, like, exited out of my brain for my own health. That, like, we can just, you know, this is the government's fault. This is the FAI's fault. This is 40 years of uninvestment, or no investment and underinvestment. It just seems, where are all these people now? Like, they're all creaming themselves over what a great result it is. But no, like, how many academy coaches are there in Cape Verde? How many pro-license coaches are there in Cape Verde? How many academies do they have?
Very embarrassing.
This could be very embarrassing. There could be 50 of them. And then I hold my hand up. But, like, I've often said, and we've talked before, and particularly, like, the Armenia game, you know, when we had that really good emergency pod that time. Like, all of it was just, like, put down to, you know, what the FAI did in, like, 1985 and 86, you know, well, we didn't invest this, and that's that, and this is what happens. Whereas, like, we were much more focused on the actual players on the pitch and what they were doing. You know, a lot of those players play in the Premier League. Whereas, like, there was no excuse for that game, really. Mm. And it's just, I always like go back to that now. Any giant killing or, like, serious result, I just want to know what these people are thinking, because you always see it online, you know, 500 likes. Oh, this is no investment, no money. Where's the government? It's always the government's fault. But, like, yeah, maybe it's just, I don't know. Maybe players need to take a bit more responsibility, like the Cape Verde players did the other night, and they got their just reward.
Very good. I think, look, we could talk about the World Cup another while. These hydration breaks are bollocks, but we'll go into.
They are. And actually, it didn't. I don't think anybody genuinely believes that Curaçao was going to, you know, put another 3 past Germany that night. But also, it did kind of foul up the momentum of their goal. Because I think it was immediately after they scored.
That's one game I didn't see. I didn't even see the highlights of it, to be honest. So there you go.
Yeah. But it did foul up their momentum. But, like, you know, people are lamenting about it as if it was like, all right, that's the reason they lost the game. They got filled in, like, so don't worry about it. Interesting as well that the Tunisia manager is gone. Your mate.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your man's name? Oh, the Saudi Arabia manager for the last World Cup. He's a French dude.
Yeah, I know. That always has the crisp white shirt on.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Renard.
Yeah. Oh, he's gone in there, is he?
He's gone in there today, yeah.
Oh, top class.
Trying to pull it out of the fire. So that'll be an interesting one, because he was talked about for the Ireland job.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
The,
I think,
you know, 18
I think
month
I was,
process.
I think I was keen on him, if I'm not wrong, yeah.
Yeah, I actually looked him up there. I saw, was it yesterday maybe, that he was being touted to come back in, or touted to come in. And, you know, he's had more clubs than Tiger. He's been all over the place. And
he was with the French women as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, apparently that was a bit of a disaster. Not that I keep much of a, you know, tab on French international women's football, but apparently it was a bit of a mess, and didn't really go to plan. So I think he was out of a job there for a little while, and now he's back in with the Tunisian team. So, but he wasn't out of a job there for a while. I think he qualified someone for the World Cup and they got rid of him.
Oh.
let me just look
we
at that.
A full podcast on this man.
Yeah, Hervé Renard. He was managing Saudi Arabia.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Up to, he went back into Saudi Arabia in 2004, qualified them for the World Cup, and he was sacked on the 17th of April, just gone.
Jesus. happened there, I wonder?
Maybe I think Watford managers own him, or not own him, own Saudi Arabia as well. So they like getting rid of managers. But yeah, so he'll be on the dugout now from, I don't know, whatever they're playing next, probably in another 3 weeks' time. There's that many group games to go through. Just actually, last point, like, why is there not a 5 o'clock game tonight?
Yeah, it's just time difference in America, I suppose. It's such a
vast country. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think some of the games are Toronto tonight, I think, if I'm not wrong. And yeah, it's not great.
At least, like I say, you could get on board with 5, 8, 11, and 10.
Oh, God, yeah. You'd stomach that.
And like, well, at least you got 3 games before I go to bed later than normal or whatever. And next thing you know, there's no game at 5. There's one at 8, 11, 2. Is there another game in the morning or like earlier in the morning? Probably not.
Could be a 5. Well, even like I got back from doing one of them 2 a.m. games.
There is a game at 5 o'clock in the morning.
There is, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Austria against Jordan.
Yeah, there you go.
What's that about?
Like I got back from one of the midnight games, and I got back for the end of the first half of Australia and Turkey, and Australia were winning 1-0 at the time. So I was like, this is worth watching. And as soon as the halftime ads came on, my eyes just went. I said, I'm going to bed. I said, I don't care that much. So it's just not great.
Just not great. But look, we'll struggle on with it. Make no mistake, we're going to be watching as much as we can. Mm. But yeah.
Right. More random World Cup talk on next week's pod.
Yeah, absolutely. Who knows? Someone else get the bullet.
We'll have to start doing mini pods for the World Cup. Right, Galway Dundalk. We kind of touched on that one. Great win for Dundalk. St. Pat's 2, Drogheda United 0. Drogheda really struggling in that fixture in recent times. Good to see Pat's back to winning ways. The story of the night, probably Waterford 4, Sligo Rovers 0.
Well, I think that's a very fair comment.
I think we've seen this result coming, not this scoreline, obviously, but I think we all went for, a lot of us went for Waterford wins in the prediction leagues last week.
Yeah, we did. I definitely didn't say 4-0.
No.
I thought Waterford were going to win. It just seems like something...
Something's clicked.
Something has clicked.
Am I right in saying Paul Jammin got a hat-trick?
He did get a hat-trick. Yeah, so, no, he was helped signs. A lot. He got a good bit of help by Sligo, to be fair. But... was it Denham that was sent off for Sligo?
Yeah.
As well, you know, not the stupidest thing in the world, but like he had just got the yellow card, like I think like 5 minutes beforehand or something like that. You know, whatever about like getting a yellow card in the first minute and then doing something stupid 80 minutes later, that's one thing. But like he got 2 yellow cards in the space of like 5 minutes, as I said. Like that was just, is there something else going on there? Maybe I'm looking too much into it, but this is like lad throwing in the towel type stuff. But yeah, huge result for Waterford. And it puts them...
Not really puts the cat among the pigeons, yeah.
Yeah, it does, but like, you know, that's something that they can build on. Like we've often mentioned like the psychological boost of beating the team around you or in front of you or just behind you to like give them a bit of a gut punch. So I have 19 points now and Waterford have 14. They've only lost one of their last 5 and won 2 games in that time. Whereas Sligo have lost 3 of their last 5, one of them obviously against Waterford. Seems to be a bit more squeaky bum.
You're looking at the table there. I have a feeling that the likes of Drogheda and Galway aren't that far ahead of Waterford either.
No, they're not. But Waterford have one team in their midst and that's Sligo. They need to get ahead of them first. So like it doesn't matter who they're playing or what they're playing or... You know who's coming next. They have their home to Shamrock Rovers on Friday, so like you know that'll be a bit. You know they're not worrying about Galway in 7th place on 21 points. They have bigger fish to fry right in front of their face. So yeah, I think that'll be an important game for them on Friday. You know if they could dig a point out on Friday against Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the predictions league later, but. Wouldn't be at all surprised if Waterford were to win again at home there, to be honest.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Whereas, I know we're coming on to it, but like Sligo are away to Pats.
Yeah.
Not a happy hunting ground for them in recent years.
The next game actually kind of links in with our World Cup chat. Derry City 4, Bohemians 1. And I think it was on the Saturday, a certain James McLean was on RT.
Oh, he was, yeah.
Made some very interesting comments. What did you make of that?
Can we get this man to shut up? Honest to God. Like, I'll just shut up, man.
To be honest, the minute I seen RT announce the list of pundits and I seen his name on it, I knew this was coming.
Yeah, fair play to whoever it was in RT. Because that's probably the most watched clip from RT World Cup coverage so far. It's, is it, are you surprised?
No, not a bit. So just for anyone that hasn't, I suppose, seen this clip, I know we shared it on our socials. So James McLean was asked by Tony O'Donoghue if the family was enjoying being back home. And he said that they were, but me, not so much. And he said, you have a lot of conversations on the phone and then you come home and quickly realize what you hear on the phone is not what you see in reality.
Yeah. That was good gossip or good crack for it to happen. But like, if you study it for a minute, why couldn't he have just said, yeah, the family's delighted to be back. You know, I've been away for so long. It's great to be back home.
Yeah.
And just smile into the camera, you know, thumbs up. Hello, children. Daddy's on the telly. Smile away and just move on. But he seems incapable of doing that. And if you're whatever issues that he's like hinting at during that piece that he made on RT, imagine trying to have a conversation with him like in an office in the Brandywell.
Well, this is the thing for me. So you can draw your own conclusions who he's maybe having a little dig at there. Most people are obviously going to draw the conclusion he's having a dig at the manager.
I don't think so.
You think the overall the standards within the club?
I believe that it's not just Tiernan. Like, Tiernan Lynch rings you up. He's another bloke. He's representing Derry, but like, there's a lot more to it around Derry than just Tiernan Lynch. Tiernan Lynch should be gone within 12 months. Do you know what I mean? There'll be something else to talk about then. There'll be another person there. There's like a, you know, a group of people, board or whatever, that would have sold the story of coming home. Yeah. And it's not just Tiernan Lynch that has sold that story, but continue.
Okay, so there's a couple of layers to that, I suppose. So you look at it, some people will say he's had a pop at the manager there. Other people will say, maybe he's having more of a pop at the board. Either way, if you're Tiernan Lynch and you're watching that clip, you're probably thinking, is he having a pop at me? And if you're Philip O'Doherty and you're watching that clip, you're thinking, is he having a pop at me? James McLean walks into the Derry City training ground this morning.
Right.
Like, what's the conversations there? Is it just nobody says anything and we get on with it?
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
It is.
Put the club and put his manager, as unpopular as Lynch appears to be with the Derry fans.
Yeah.
Put him in that situation, to put the club in that situation. I mean, Derry fans themselves.
And his teammates.
But Derry fans themselves took to socials and they hammered McLean. We've had enough of this shite. Just send him on his way.
Yeah, send him packing. Like, I don't understand. Like, what benefit has he offered to Derry since he arrived?
That's another thing. If this lad had scored 15 goals this season and was tearing it up, and, you know, he's looking at the league table and saying, geez, I've done all this and we've only won 5 games. Fair enough, maybe. It's still probably not the right forum to go and have this sort of thing.
National television.
But, I mean, for a lad that's probably been, not even probably, has been Derry's worst player this season when he's been on the pitch.
Yeah.
To come out with that is absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is mind-boggling, but like it goes back to what I was saying, not to discount what you were saying, but it was more like, let's say 3 months into it, you know, 2 months ago, McLean goes, just, I'm having a terrible time. This is shite. The standards and this, and I was told this, and that has happened, and all this other stuff. And he starts knocking on a few doors. What type of conversation could you have with someone that also thinks it's okay to have this commentary on national television? When the question was nothing about him and playing for Derry City.
We don't know, we don't know. Maybe he has knocked on doors. Maybe he has rang the owner. Maybe he's talked to the manager and said, I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with X, Y, and Z. And nothing's come of it. And he feels that this is the last resort. So maybe just to give a bit of balance to the conversation here, I think we're both been very critical of McLean's conduct here, but...
We are, but
we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And again, we don't know who he's aiming at, if anyone.
I understand that. But Tony O'Donoghue, you know, has been criticised before about asking bad questions.
Mm.
Down through the years, Martin O'Neill being one of them. And I'm sure there's others that I can't even remember. But also, the question was like, how are your family finding it?
Yeah, back home
in Derry. Like, this is pure, well, I'll tell you another thing. You know what I mean? Like, this is a pure, unequal reaction to a very, how is your wife and children finding being back home?
Yeah.
He decided, well, I'm going to use this forum to
do a mic drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is within a team. Like, I'd say, he's also saying, probably that hasn't been said, well, not that I'm saying stuff that people haven't thought about already, but it's more like, what's he saying about all his colleagues, all his teammates?
Mm.
You know, he's calling every one of them out by saying stuff like that.
There's a lot to them. We haven't even got to this game yet. Obviously, it was a surprising result. I think a lot of us went for Bowes wins or Bowes to get something. So to see Derry win 4-1 was 4-1 was very welcome. But today, just before we started recording, Ben Doherty put out a lengthy statement on his socials. He's leaving. He said, after 3 years, the time has come for me to leave Derry. As a local boy growing up supporting the club, being given the chance to return to the club 3.5 years ago, I couldn't have imagined how it would go from European runs, team of the year, and playing in front of a packed Brandywell every week. I'll be forever grateful. After working so hard to come back from injury the last 6 months without playing regularly, haven't been easy. I want to thank the Derry fans for their support over the last 3 years, especially through the tough times personally. Derry fans expect so much and the players want to deliver so badly for them, and I hope sometime in the future that can be the case. I also want to thank all the players that I have played with in the last 3 years. Some unbelievable memories made, and I wish them all the best going forward. And this was the part I found most interesting. Thank you also to the chairman and the board for being so cooperative in allowing me to pursue the next chapter in my career. Looking forward to my next challenge and get back to training and playing with a smile on my face. He's thanked the fans. Yep. He's thanked his teammates. He's thanked the chairman and the board. Who has he not mentioned at all in that statement?
The manager.
Yeah.
And he's gone back to a former manager.
Oh, is that right? Has he gone to Coleraine?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that, and I know exactly who he's gone back to. So
yeah,
there you go. That seems to be a bit of a common theme at the minute. Just between the McLean stuff and the Doherty statement, it does not seem a happy place. But how could it be
a happy place up there?
No, it shouldn't be a happy place. They shouldn't be going around with smiles on their faces. But
yeah,
I suppose we're talking about standards here. And McLean seemed to suggest he's not happy with the standards around the club. And I know we're kind of reading through blurry lines here and kind of drawing up our own conclusions. But at the end of the day, the person that sets standards within a football club is the manager. And I think what's gone on over the last couple of days, right or wrong, and I think we both agree very much wrong from James McLean, I think it's quite telling of what's going on behind the scenes and within that dressing room at Derry City right now.
Hmm. No, that's fair. I don't really know how they escape out of this. You know, like I think Tiernan Lynch said that.
I have a fair idea how you do it.
Get rid of Tiernan Lynch.
Yeah, I'm stunned he's still in the position. But look, 4-1 win against Bowes, a couple of players leaving, maybe a bit of freshening up, a few boatloads come over from the UK.
Yeah, I think Centreline are doing a deal at the minute.
Another manager who might find himself under pressure quickly again is Rennie. Doesn't take much for his critics to come out in force on socials. That was a very bad result for them. But we will move on. The live game, it sounded like it was an absolute belter. Where was I Friday? Sorry, I was watching Dundalk, so I didn't see any of this game. But Shelburne 2, Shamrock Rovers 1. It sounds like Rovers were unlucky losers here. Don't know how much
of
you
you've
seen.
No, I was out on the sauce.
Great.
I had my duties on Saturday. I did watch the highlights, though. I do want to make one point. Did you see Meepo's goal?
No. I know that's very unprofessional for the host of a League of Ireland podcast, but I am literally up to my eyeballs with World Cup notes here. So no, I didn't, to be honest. Oh,
sorry to put you on the spot, but for anybody I've seen, I would be very critical of McGinty and the Rovers goal for that.
Right.
it seemed like a shot from near the like edge of the box, but like the sideline edge, just inside, and he got it all wrong. I don't know if he thought that Meepo was going to go across the goal and he had his weight on the wrong side, but like he just got beaten at the near post and he should be rightly disappointed with that. I thought even the reaction from some of the players, I thought Sobowale was like, how the hell did you let that go by you, lad? I think, was that Meepo's first goal of the season? Probably would.
Yeah, sure, he's barely played.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wasn't too surprised that this result came true. I think I correctly predicted this result in the Predictions League. And I just had a feeling that if something was going to click for Shelburne, and they did, and they obliged me last Friday. But it is an important result, I think, for Shells, though. They haven't been beaten in five now, which is a great...
No, and especially to beat the champions at home as well, you know, given their struggles at home this season. Hopefully that's them putting all that nonsense behind them now.
Yeah, and they can get a good run in. Like, they're still, you know, deeply in the bottom half of the table for home results. They've played 11 or only won two, and that was the second one of the season. So, but they haven't, like, the first one of the season was against Waterford there, and that made a bit of heavy lifting of that. They only won 2 on that game. So, good result for them here. And hopefully they can build on it from a home performance perspective.
Just on Shamrock Rovers, credit to RTE. They're giving us some great content for the pod this week. I don't know, did you see Stephen Bradley's comments on the RTE soccer pod about Josh O'Dwyer's recent call up to train with the Irish seniors?
Oh, I didn't. I to be honest with you, anytime he mentions the Ireland national team, turn off the microphone. Don't want to hear about it. I don't care what he said. It's shite. Anyway, what did he say?
He was just very, he described it as nonsense.
Did he? Like, yeah. Crazy. Okay. Right.
I'm not happy with this constant back and forth. Well, do you know, it's actually fair to call it a back and forth, because I don't hear much from Hamer about this. I hear Stephen Bradley taking constant pop shots at the Ireland manager, as far as I can see it. He'll feel that these are justified criticisms or concerns he's bringing up. And he did say in the thing, you know, I like Hamer, he's a great lad and all this, but like, he keeps every chance he gets, as you said, every time there's a microphone put in front of him and he's asked about Ireland in any kind of sense,
yeah,
there seems to be some sort of criticism of the Ireland manager. I don't think that's good.
Well, how many times has he met Hamer?
They met for that coffee, didn't they?
I met for a coffee. Yeah, I met a lad 5 years
ago.
That
was supposed to be clearly.
I'm still commenting on that bollocks. I don't want to hear about it. It seems like, it's like who was it? Who, Duffer himself, you know. Strap on the microphone straight to his arsehole, and whatever comes out of it, let's print it. Now, I know the numbers have been great. You know, any article that has mentioned Duffer, even any tweet that the podcast Twitter has put out about Duffer, did numbers, as the saying goes, right?
Yeah. Sorry, not to take you off track, but sad to see the news about Duffer going to Brentford.
Why is it sad?
Clinging on to hope he'd come back.
Are you surprised?
A little bit, yeah. But I suppose he had flown the kite there recently that he might be open to work in the UK, and he had visited, I think he had talked about his visit to Brentford. So maybe no great. And he had been linked with Brentford shortly after he left Shells. And I think we were glad that he didn't just jump ship straight away. No one has an issue with him going now after been out with the game for a while. But I would have loved to have seen him back in the league in some capacity.
Yeah, it would have been good, but like, it would have really depended on the team, you know. And he has mentioned a couple of times before that he wouldn't manage anybody else at League of Ireland level after Shells.
I don't think he meant that.
Oh no, I'm just saying that's what he said.
I suppose the one thing is he's gone to a club that, you know, Keith Andrews was the set piece coach last season, and now he's the manager of a Premier League club. So if he impresses there is the possibility for progression, and maybe get that job at some stage down the line. So that would be a great boost for the league. If I think some of our followers did point out that they replied to us when we put up the tweet saying, oh, you know, was anyone else a bit sad to see the news about Duffer as good as it is for him? Someone said, you know, it's great that Sky Sports and a lot of the media outlets in the UK were running with the fact that this is a League of Ireland winning manager being appointed, and they weren't so much talking about his playing career. So it does seem that there is that bit more respect for the league out there now than there was in the past.
Yeah, understandable. I'm not really looking to English media to give the League of Ireland respect, to be honest, though.
Yeah.
You know, some arsehole on TalkSport saying that he's League of Ireland winning manager. Okay.
Right.
I don't need to be, you know, breastfed by some of them, by any English media, really, to be honest. So,
right, we'll move into the first division. You were busy over the last few days. Fair play. You commentated on Longford Cove the other night, and you did the FAI Cup women's game as well, Longford Balergan on Sunday on LOI TV. I wasn't around all weekend, so well done. We'll start with Longford. They won by 2-1, and sounds like they thoroughly deserved it as well. The penalty Cove got towards the end of the game was absolutely comical. I don't know how you didn't self-combust there on commentary.
Yeah, well, for anybody that did watch the highlights of this game, like, I was...
You couldn't describe it.
I was like, speechless. How the Jesus, lad, did you get that, come to that decision? Like, a red card for 8 Cove Ramblers players at the one time would have been a better decision than that. Like, abandoning the game was better than that. I cannot believe that, like, it was Kyle O'Neill that was fouled, in inverted commas. He wasn't next or near the ball. He tripped over Alex O'Brien as he was getting the ball.
Who was the ref?
Alan Patchell. Oof. Really, really dire.
He has form against Longford, of course.
Yeah, he does. But yeah, another
Halla last season.
Oh yeah, well, that was what, the handball?
Two penalties against Longford last season.
Yeah, fair. But yeah, look. Look, it didn't have an impact on the game. Like, it did have a bit of a, you know, nervousness towards the end of the game. That penalty went in, I think it was like 78th minute or something like that, and you know, that obviously put a bit of fear into Longford Town. But I thought Cove were Jeannie Mac. They were bad.
Really, yeah.
Absolutely dire.
And they had been on a good run as well.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Maybe everybody had too many pints over the break or something like that. But they were
still in McLeay playing.
No.
Nah.
No, it actually was funny. My colleague
there.
My colleague was walking around the pitch before we did the stream, and Dylan McLeod was on the bench, but he was walking around in full tracksuits. Like, he wasn't doing any pre-game warm-up or anything like that. Mm. So I don't really know what happened there. Maybe he got injured or something. But, well, he couldn't have got injured because he never talked out throughout the evening. So honestly, got injured on the bus. But yeah, they were desperately bad. One of the worst performances in Bishopsgate this season. They offered absolutely nothing. Really lax, really lethargic, no urgency. They made a sub at half time and a couple of more subs that had absolutely no impact on the game. They had a good midfield Shane Griffin. He had a good free kick that was well, but it was on the same side as Kean Moore. So, like, you know, a handy save from Kean Moore, even though it was well struck and it was going in towards the top corner, but a comfortable save for Kean Moore in the town goal. I think the biggest issue of the night was Longford were robbed of a handy clean sheet because Cove were terrible. So yeah,
that's, am I right in saying Longford into the top five now?
Yeah, Longford Town in the playoffs now.
I'd have to look up when the last time that has happened. I don't think it happened any stage last season. I don't think it happened any stage 2024 either. Even 2023, I wonder, did it happen? So it's a long time since Longford have been in the top five.
It has, yeah.
I just think psychologically that'll be a massive boost to the players. Was, I suppose, all of last year, all of this year, the talk has been we need to break that top five, and they had that great run towards the end of last year, but they never actually got into it at any stage. They were always playing catch-up, whereas now they're in there. It's kind of, look, lads, you've worked to get here. That's, you know, it's possible now. Keep going. So I think that could be a big, big psychological moment for Longford.
I think so as well, particularly like with, you know, younger group of players and lots of players that have come in. I chatted to Jamie Egan there, Longford captain, like ravaged by injury in the last since he joined the club. Now he has, I think he's back fully fit. He mentioned actually, I think that he came back a bit early last year, which was the wrong decision. Severely impacted his
recovery
back to full fitness. Yeah, so I think there's been a bit of a few smarter decisions been made. But like, I think one of the best things that Longford have done this season is at the back. They're the third fewest goals conceded. Now I know they're not banging them in, but they have scored 5 in the last 2 games.
Yeah, and so that's back-to-back games now. Dean Williams has scored. I was a bit fearful that the break had come at the wrong time for him just before, you know, or he ends his big goal drought and then the summer break comes and you're just wondering, can he pick up the momentum? But he's carried it on, so that's really good to see. So, really good weekend for Longford. elsewhere, Cork City 2-0 winners in Wexford. They continue to run away with the division.
Just on Wexford. They've lost 4 out of their last 5. It's really taken a swing to the negative for Wexford.
They have these runs, though.
Yeah, they do. But, like 6 weeks ago, they were in second and third. Mm. And now they've just fallen off a cliff. And I'd have concerns with them in the second half of the season, to be honest.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. Kerry beat Athlone by a 2-0. Much needed win for Kerry. Athlone sliding down that table rapidly. Treaty United 2, Bray Wanderers 2. We were quite positive about Treaty when they played Longford just before the break. That okay, they lost, they were bottom, but you know, we said they're actually trying hard. They're still quite well organised, just lacking that quality. So for them to take a point off Bray is very encouraging for them. One of the big stories of the weekend was Finn Harps getting thumped 5-0 at home to UCD. Now, a lot of people would have obviously had UCD as favourites for that game. But for Harps to lose 5-0 at home, have noticed that the mood music down there seems to be changing a little bit, or up there, I should say, up in Ballybuffet. Supporters very, very disgruntled with what they're seeing.
Well, look, they've slipped into ninth now. They're behind Kerry in the table.
They've had a dire season.
You know, on the one hand, yeah, they have had a dire season after all the fanfare. But, you know, 2 minutes ago, we were talking about Longford Town of it being like a positive mental thing to be in the playoffs. They're only there on goal difference at the moment. But, you know, it's been a while since Longford have been there. So, you know, you build on that in your head. And you're like, yeah, we're supposed to be where we are. On the flip side of that, Harps are where they are now at the minute. You can see why the mood music would turn. Like, that could have been 4 losses in a row if they didn't dig out a draw against Longford Town a few weeks ago.
Mm.
You know, and it would be an even more grim outlook on the table. So, you know, on the one hand, you know, we're talking about the positivity about your league position at this moment in time. You still have to look at Finn Harps to be like, well, what are we at? You know, they've conceded 7, or they've scored 17 goals this season, but conceded 33.
Oh.
They're nearly like what Longford were last year, what I mean? Where
the only thing about Longford last year,
they scored way more.
Not even that. On their day at home, they were capable of getting results. I mean, Ballybuffet has always been a difficult place to go, the oldest cliche in football. No matter how much they were struggling, if you had heard, well, you know what, Harps bet Dundalk 1-0 or better Cork City 1-0 at home.
Fine.
Shamrock Rovers 1-0 or Drew 0-0. You're like, could see that, and they might go out and lose 4-0 next week to Drogheda away from home or whatever, but at home they were always capable of getting results. So to see them losing 5-0 against UCD, now I know that is a very good UCD team this season,
and everything they touched went in, to be fair.
That is a hugely worrying result for Finn Harps.
It is, and like, I don't know if you might have saw the first goal of the night on social media. Like, I think it was from about 40 yards out, straight into the top corner, like the keeper was off his line. So, you know, on one hand, everything went right for UCD, and there was a couple of bits of messing in the Harps goal, or in their own box that contributed to their downfall as well. So there's a few things that did happen, but no matter what way you cut it, a 5-0 loss at home is just not,
they're not progressing at all. That's the concern.
That is a concern, and like, that wouldn't really be tolerated even against a team like Cork City, who've lost 2 games all year.
Mm, yeah,
you know, that's just not okay.
No, We'll move into the BTS Predictions League. Just before we do that, we better update people. We kept our promise, even though we didn't do a pod last week. We did put the Predictions League out on socials. We put the charity bet out as well. And I thought I was in a great position to actually win a game week of the Predictions League for one of the rare times this season. I had 9 points after the Friday matches. I was looking good. And then I went against Longford. I went for a 1-1 draw in the Cove game. So I didn't pick anything up there. And along came Gary with a correct prediction for that Longford game. 2-1. You got the score right. So you got two correct scores and four results. So that is... how many points is that for you?
10 points.
10 points. Listeners did okay. It was Carl playing for the listeners last week. One correct score, and it was actually the Longford one as well. And five correct results. So that was 8 points for the listeners. And as I said, I got 9 points on the Friday. I got the correct score in the Galway-Dundalk game. That was sweet because Dundalk got the late winner, and the Wexford Cork game I nailed as well. But I just, I was pipped at the post by Gary Riley. He was on fire this season. 10 points on week 18 for Gary to go with your 10 on week 17. You've had a couple of 11 and 12 point weeks as well. So you're absolutely smashing it this season.
Consistency is key, huh?
111 points for Gary this season. Listeners second on 89 and I'm bottom on 80. At least there was some signs of improvement from me last week. So, that's what happened last week. Let's look at who's going to play for the listeners this week. I have them already picked out here. It's going to be Dylan Short, who is a St. Patrick's Athletic fan. We'll start with the games in the First Division, Gary, given we were just talking First Division there. Athlone Town take it on Wexford at Lizzie Wallen.
This is it. Two teams in brutal form. I'd be going the way of a score draw here, to be quite honest. I don't really see much else.
And I always say, anytime we preview this fixture, doesn't matter what season it is, these two always have some mental games with some really high scoring games. There's loads of 4-3s and 3-2s down the years in this fixture. So I think a score draw could be a really good shout.
I'm going to go for 2-2.
You're going 2-2. No, despite me saying that, I am going to stick with a Wexford win here. I just think that Athlone team are sliding back to where I expected them to be. I'm going to go 2-0 to Wexford.
Ooh.
And Dylan is going for a 1-1 draw. So he's kind of thinking along the same lines as you there with a score draw. Bray Wanderers against Longford Town on Friday. I won't get to this as I'm on World Cup. Not World Cup duty. I'm doing a LOA TV for a Premier Division club on Friday. But Bray taking on Longford at the Carlisle.
Longford Town had a very good result against Bray in the opener of the season. Bray were all over Longford Town that night. And Longford Town probably did steal a point there.
Longford have had some good results in Bray the last couple of years. I know they got a 4-0 hammer last season, but they've had some good results aside from that. I think they'll go up there. They won't fear Bray at all. I can see that's actually been a decent enough game. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw, even though that's probably a bit high scoring for a Longford Town game.
Yeah, the one concern I'd have is Bray have been good in front of goal. Well, this season in general, they're the second highest scorers in the league. They filled in Wexford a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
They scored 4 against UCD. Put 5 against Cove, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Remember that game? What's your man's name? Scored the hat trick and he got goal of the month there with the flick. That was against Cove, wasn't it? You know, he chipped it over the keeper in the first. You got the first half hat trick, whoever that was.
Oh yeah, the McCormick. Lad used to play McCormick. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be a concern, but I think, like, from a Longford point of view, they've been really, really good at the back this season. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Town.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. Dylan's going for a 1-0 win to Bray. We don't like that. Cork City against Treaty United. Dylan going for a 4-1 win to Cork City. I think they can probably win this in second gear, Cork. I'll go 2-0.
I'll go 3-0 to Cork City.
Okay. Cove Ramblers
Just while we're on the topic of Treaty, what did you make of their big news?
Good man.
Treaty United are going to be no more.
Limerick FC back again. Look... I suppose it's a positive. It's not a silver bullet, though, and I'd hope people aren't viewing it as that just because it's Limerick FC. There's not going to be 5,000 people knocking on the door to get into the Markets Field. I think we've taken the decision not to talk about off-field matters at Treaty because we're just so tired and jaded of that type of stuff. But there's obviously a lot of relation building that needs to go on down there. So changing the name isn't going to be a silver bullet. If it adds a few people on the gate, great. But, it's not a magic potion for success or anything like that.
No, no. And I don't think anybody thinks that. I think hopefully it'll be a bit of a unifier. Or at least a signal of that.
Well, the fact that the Limerick FC academy teams are going to be pulling out, that is a unifying thing. I suppose that the best players will be pooled into one club in Limerick. That can only be a good thing. But there's junior football down there is huge. There's so many different divides. There's probably divides within the club itself by the sounds of things. Mm-hmm. So still an awful lot of work to do, no matter what name you're calling yourself.
Yeah.
Cove Ramblers against Finn Harps. Dylan going for a 2-1 win to Cove.
This is a real tricky one for bad reasons because both teams are poor. This game is in
St. Coleman's.
In St. Coleman's, so that is a bit of a relief for Cove. I was just so concerned of how poor they were the other night. Really offered nothing. Even players that would say that are in the Cove squad for the last couple of years, like Laberve, didn't really have much end product at all. Dylan McLeay didn't play. Like Kyle O'Neill, a big lad coming on. Probably actually should have got a red card, I'd say, for a challenge from behind. Might have been harsh, but it was more orange than yellow. So lots of little things going on there. I do think, though, that they have enough quality to beat Finn Harps. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Cove.
That's exactly what I was going to go for, because from what you said, they created very little against Longford. Harps, when you see a team get absolutely tonked like that, particularly at home, you'd imagine it's a back-to-basics job on the training ground this week. You wouldn't be surprised if they go down there, put in a spirit of display, maybe, a load of heroic blocks, Cape Verde style, and they come away with a 0-0. It's either going to be that type of thing, or it's going to be a 3 or 4-0 tonking for them. But I'm going to go somewhere in between. I'm going to follow you with the 1-0 because I'd just be concerned if McLeod's not playing again. I think Cove do lack that bit of creative spark. Then we've got UCD against Kerry. Dylan's going for a comprehensive 3-0 win to UCD. I'd be fancying a home win here quite strongly as well.
I think so. Now, UCD have had trouble against Kerry. I think they had a couple of difficult games down in Montauk, but this is a different animal now. I think it's going to be, I'm going to go 4-0 to UCD.
Oh, Jesus, I'm going to go 2-0. Right, into the Premier Division, we've got Waterford FC against Shamrock Rovers. We kind of hinted about this earlier on. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Waterford. Why not? I'm in trouble in the Predictions League. I might as well throw the kitchen sink.
Yeah. I do think like you'll surely get a lot of, a boost from something like from a win like that against your rivals in relegation. Obviously, Shamrock Rovers will be smarting enough from their loss against Shells, particularly from a team that has had only won one game in Tolka Park all year. I think you think Amanda will get another goal?
Yeah, I do.
I'll give you a bonus point if he does get one.
Okay.
I'm not willing to follow you. I'm going to go 2-1 to Rovers.
Okay. We've got the GA Pitch Derby, Galway United against Derry City. This will take place at Pier Stadium, which was absolutely packed to the rafters the weekend for against Westmead. A few of our mates were there. Maxi and John didn't go their way, unfortunately, but
didn't have to open the gates early or something like that because there were so many people queuing.
That's sure half of Westmead was there. Yeah, unbelievable. Pity a few of them couldn't find their way to Lizzie Wollen, huh? Anyway, Galway United against Derry City. I don't know what the surface is like there, even though I was watching a bit of that Galway Westmead game, but you obviously don't really notice the pitch as much in a GA match. Hopefully it's a bit better than Derry's pitch has been, but
well, and Derry are out of there now, out of Celtic.
Out of there now, back to the Brandywell, yeah.
Back to the Brandywell, so we'll see how that goes. I think, do you think that could set up Derry, maybe? Anyway,
The Galway, look, Dundalk deserved to beat Galway the other night. They did. They were the better team, created the better chances. Galway had couple of encouraging moments on the break, but they're not creating a whole pile. Derry,
do you think James Clark got two? He missed a penalty for his hat trick against Bowes the other night. Like, do you think there's a bit of like, yeah, we could get going here? You know,
spoke about earlier, all the shit that's going on around Derry.
They've won their first cup final. They've only 15 cup finals left. You know, where did we hear that before? Now, I don't think Tiernan Lynch is going to turn into and return a record like that Stephen Bradley has, because he used to be fond of that comment before. And Shamrock Rovers.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I totally forgot to bring that up earlier when we were going through all the Derry stuff. That was absolutely crazy for Tiernan Lynch to come out with something like that. I would say embarrassing.
What, 16 cup finals?
Yeah, that's embarrassing stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'd say, that's for a team that's like trying to creep into the playoffs.
Exactly. That's
you know, that's like, you know, can we get there in the last few games? I know Longford Town
that's relegation talk. That's what that is.
That is relegation talk. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's pathetic. So no, I have no faith that Derry can follow up what they've done last time. 0-0.
Okay. I'm going to go for 1-1.
Dylan's going 1-0 to Derry. Pats against Sligo Rovers.
I can't really see much else other than a win for St. Pat's. You had a good result against Drogheda.
Bit of flat track bullying going on here. Beat Drogheda easy last time. Beat Sligo now.
I shit the togs. I'm playing anybody decent.
Rovers.
Yeah, to a degree, I'd say that's fine. But like, also, they have to do this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They will. I'll go 2-0 Pats.
Yeah, I'll follow you.
Okay, 3-1 for Dylan there, as I said. Drogs against Sligo. Dylan going for a 0-0. Does have the look of that kind of fixture, all right?
It does, and you know, Sligo will be harmed by that hammering they took, missing Denham as well. I'm gonna think Drogheda are gonna sneak this one. I'm gonna go for 1-0.
I don't see that. I've put it on the record in the last few pods. I'm getting more and more worried by the week for Drogheda, to be honest.
Is that down to
nothing up front, largely. And they're conceding more goals than they were last year, but largely the fact they have nothing up front. Shell's great boost for them last time, but were they a bit fortunate, maybe?
Shells?
Hmm.
What fixture is this?
Beating Rovers.
Oh, sorry.
I think they might just sneak it. I go 1-0 Shells, the classic 1-0 Shells. Harry Wood to get a penalty.
But this has been a tight game. Or do you not think like a bit of pressure on Drogheda has to help them out here?
I just don't think they have the tools at the minute. It's as simple as that.
Give me your
prediction.
1-1.
Okay. Bowes against Dundalk is live on the telly. Could be a good game, this. I think what we're going to start doing now is giving the listeners the chance to get a bonus point. We'll pick the live game every week. And Dylan's gone with Horgan to score here in a 2-2 draw.
Ooh. Well, yeah, Bowes have... wasn't the return fixture of this...
I was at the return fixture in Oriel. Bowes won 3-1 after a dire first half performance.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, was it that game in Oriel or...
Yeah, it was in Oriel. Cornwall gave away a penalty and got sent off.
Yeah,
he was shaky again the other night, to be honest. He gives me palpitations every time I see him in defence for Dundalk. I think Dundalk need to probably get a bit of cover in the defence during the during the summer window. A Ruby picked up a knock with the 21s. Not sure when he's going to hopefully be back for this, but they were definitely missing him the other night in Galway. Mullen missed an absolute sitter. He's probably not back to full sharpness, Mullen, after missing a lot of games. Hopefully he'll get back to speed quickly, but they could do with a Ruby.
It's good that he's back, though.
I'd fancy, with a fit of Ruby here, I'd probably fancy Dundalk to go up there and win. If he's not playing, Bowes at home.
That's a marker against Dundalk, no doubt about it.
Yeah, Kenny's gone a little bit quiet in the last few weeks.
Only 2 points between them in the table as well. Yeah. You're just trying to find a way for Dundalk to win.
No, I think I do like that 2-2. I'm going to go a bit tamer than that. I'll go 1-1. My goal score, I'll go with A. Derwin to bang one in from range.
I'm going to go with Bowes here. I think we're going to get a bit of a reaction after that hammering they took against Derry, which is like, you know, you'd be better off doing that against Shamrock Rovers. Do you know what I mean? Like losing against, like taking that beating against such a bad Derry side is a bit more painful than normal. I'm going to say 2-1 to Bowes.
Okay. Right, that's it for the predictions league. We'll go into the charity bet this week, Gary. Hopefully we can perform a bit better after the summer break.
Wasn't it just Bowes that let me down?
I'm just logging into your account here now to have a look.
I
think it was Bowes that just let you down, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, Christ above.
You went Pats. Just Bowes last week let you down. I had them in there as well. So. What do you fancy this week?
I'm going to go for Pats.
Should we possibly look at doing some World Cup matches to try and get out of this funk?
No, because there's about 80 or 100 games between now and the next pod. Like, no one will remember what we're talking about.
That is true.
I'm going to go for Cove.
Okay, you're starting in the first division.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going Cove to beat Finn Harps.
Cork to beat Treaty.
Yeah.
UCD to beat Kerry. It's probably what. what does that give me?
It's 12 to 5.
It's not too bad. And Pats to beat Sligo. I think there are four bankers.
Four bankers. Very confident this week. I like it.
Yeah, it's about 3 to 1, is it?
It's just over 3 to 1.
Yeah.
And a little 5% ACA boost. Will we take that?
We will, yeah. We have to get something on the board. Yeah, I know it's not great money, but Jesus, you have to add to it at all.
Let's get the momentum rolling. Right, I'm just going to log out of your account and log into mine. So give me 2 seconds here. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Barwon Betting, for their continued support of the charity bet each and every week. It's not costing them too much at the minute, that's for sure. right, into my account. Let's have a look here. Definitely Pats.
Right.
I think I might just replicate what you've done, to be honest. Let me see. I'll go with Wexford, or is that risky?
No, stay away out of that.
Oh, I think they look a good price against that loan. Just to shake it up, I'll go Wexford. I'll go Cove. I'll go Cork. And I won't put in UCD just in case one of yours, you know, we don't want to slip up on the same ones. I'm getting 6-1 there with a 5% boost, so I'll take that.
All right, that's good.
So there we go. That was Pats, Wexford, Cove and Cork City all to win for my charity bet this week. So yeah, as ever, markets for all the games this week in the League of Ireland can be found on bar1betting.com and the Bar One Betting app. Gambling for over 18s only. Always gamble with care. See gamblingcare.ie. I don't think we've got a hotline this week, Gary. I think people got out of the habit last week with us not being around. We don't seem to have anything really coming through. Before we go, we did have a day of European draws today among the madness of the World Cup. Shamrock Rovers in the Champions League drawn against Floriana from Malta. So that's very positive. Bowes got St. Joseph's from Gibraltar. Them boys are sick of coming here. And I think Derry, out of all the teams they got, CSK Sofia was probably one of the better draws they could have landed. So look, we'll definitely be expecting Rovers and Bowes to go through them ties, whatever about Derry.
Yeah. I think the one thing for Derry, like, you know, this would be, you know, a nice relief, maybe, in a sense. Would it be? You know, that you can just go, right, look, we can park our league shit to the side for the minute and look forward to something fresh and new, and it might be a tonic for them. If they did get a good run in Europe to some degree, like, do we think that they could qualify?
No.
Is that because their path is too hard or because it's Derry?
That's because of the way they're playing.
Fair enough.
I mean, God knows what goes on them flights. James McLean grabs the, you know, the phone that the air stewardess use to make the announcements.
Yeah, he's flying the plane.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's true. He could, he has another avenue to spew his shite, but I think a draw probably not something that we're concentrating too much on.
They check into the hotel and the travel rep asks them how they're settling in, and he just goes off on a mad one about standards.
I don't.
You look these hotels up in the brochure, and when you get here, it's a very different thing.
Yeah, some young one in a travel agent in Derry City is freaking out now. She's worried about who's going to come in the door the following week. Maybe it can be used as a bit of a, you know, something to build on for Derry if they get a good little run. But I don't think CSK Sofia is going to be someone that you could just swipe your nose at. Like, it could be a very difficult tie. I was actually in Sofia last week. I was only in the airport.
Doing your reconnaissance.
Yeah, well, geez, I know these draws are... I know there's a hot and cold balls in the drum for these things, but maybe not for this early draw. But it's good journey.
Was a CSK Sofia a couple of years ago, me and you went seeing Talley against Derry. Am I right in saying that? Or against Pats?
Oh, that was that nice evening, and they made a balls of it.
Yeah, and they were, yeah.
Hold on now, let me look that up.
I think that was CSK Sofia.
Really? Let me have a quick gander here.
Maybe not. Maybe I have that wrong, do I?
Hold on.
Used to be able to see all the European games here on Wiki, but maybe it's not them. Oh, it was them. Yep.
Good man yourself.
Yeah, they were a horrible bunch, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were real.
When you think of playing in Europe and the dark arts and all that, they were.
Yeah, they were shy. Yeah. Yeah. But no, I do. I do remember that game. I remember they turned it around away. If you remember, they got it was 1-0 to Pats away from home, but they obviously had the tugs fully filled by home.
I don't know. It just seems to be one of the better draws Derry could have got, but you couldn't have much faith in them at the minute.
Yep, absolutely.
The good news is, I was talking to our old friend John Breyer the other day, and he's very much up for coming on and doing some from your European content with us. So that's
very good. He's glad to hear he's on the mend.
Yeah. So we'll definitely have John along to look ahead to those European games when they come around. But
pair of good knees between the lot of us, huh?
Oh, Jesus, yeah. I think that's it for this week. Good to be back.
Yeah, good to be back. I'm going to watch the second half of France and Senegal now. It's hitting a little here.
Lovely. We haven't missed anything. So that's what I'll do now while I'm editing this pod, cutting out all your shite talk.
Yeah, well, look, you have a full job on. I won't see you Friday because you're bailing on the town again.
Yeah. I'll see you in Kerry. See you in the airport for the fry-up.
Yeah, looking forward to that. We can look forward to that next week as well. That's Friday week, isn't it?
It's Friday week, yeah.
Jesus. That'll be your last hurrah, won't it?
Last hurrah, yeah.
Ah, well. Nice knowing you.
Right, so that'll do.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, everybody. That was the latest episode of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. If you could give us a follow on Spotify or on Apple, wherever you're listening, that is very helpful for pushing the pod to new listeners. We want to get it out there to as many people as possible. Do leave us a rate and a review. And we love a little comment on Spotify as well. So get in touch with us. Let us know that you're listening. But for this week, from Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley, from our sponsors, Quinn AV, and from Bar One Betting, thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you again soon.
don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.